We are in the series of learning Hilchos Tefillah, and the last class that we gave on Hilchos Tefillah was where we moved from speaking about Shemona Esrei to speaking about the Shema. So we asked a very important question that we're going to repeat and try to answer, but beginning with a halacha regarding Shema, that tzarech lahafzik ma'at, it's important to make a slight pause between saying Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei La'olam Vod, which is the phrase that we say right after we say the Shema. We should pause after Baruch Shem, before we say the Yahavta. Why? Because the content of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei La'olam Vod is one. The content from the Yahavta on is a different content. And to make that clear, we're supposed to make a slight pause. Now, who can verbalize what is the difference in content between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem and the Yahavta? How is the content different? I know the words are different. But what is the content? What's the toichen? Content means mahatochen. What are we saying when we're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? What are we saying? We're saying to listen. I know what Shema means. What's the message of Shema Yisrael? Hello. We're declaring that there's only one Hashem. And what are we saying when we're saying V'yahavta? We're saying there's a mitzvah to love Hashem. So how are they different? It's a different mitzvah, or there's something even deeper in which they are different?
Well, one is about oneness, and the other one is about two different entities having a relationship.
Correct. Okay, very, very good. There was a young tzaddik, I think it was the Kotzke Rebbe, I might be wrong, that as a child, as an 8 or 9 year old, he went into the Alter Rebbe, and he told him that when you say Shema Yisrael, and you're declaring that there's nothing other than God, and we'll just review that, which means that from a certain perspective, we don't even really exist. We are just a part of Hashem. There's only Hashem. Hashem is Echad. Then how can you even say V'yahavta? V'yahavta is based on the premise that there are two entities. There's us and there's Hashem. And there's a mitzvah that we're supposed to connect to Hashem. You have that? In other words, Shema Yisrael should take out of the possibility of there even being a mitzvah of the Ahavta. If there's only God, then there's no one to love God. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Okay, fine, all good. I want to go to this halacha. This halacha is saying the following. Shema Yisrael is not even a mitzvah. Shema Yisrael is an affirmation. We are affirming what we believe in. Like, what do I believe in? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If I would like to make the shortest or the most brief statement possible as to what a Yid believes in, I think what do I believe in? What do you believe in? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Yahavta is a mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. And the Yahavta, that phrase doesn't only have the mitzvah of the Yahavta. There's a mitzvah of educating children. There's a mitzvah of putting on tefillin. There's a mitzvah of putting on mezuzahs. The Yahavta onwards, it's about mitzvahs. We are verbalizing mitzvahs that God gave. Obviously, we're picking very important mitzvahs. Shema, in the literal Pashta context, even though there is a mitzvah to believe in whatever Shema is speaking about, but when we are saying Shema, we're not speaking about observing commandments. Or in the words of Halacha, there's something called Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemaim, which means I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of God. And then there's something else called I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of mitzvahs. Kabbalas mitzvahs. Ever heard those words? So Shema Yisrael is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. V'yahavta onwards is Kabbalah Samitzvahs. There are such different things that we make a pause when we daven. Not to mesh them together. Let me ask you a question. What does Kabbalah Samitzvahs mean? Say it in your words. You're being makabel to do what?
Accepting
what?
The mitzvahs.
What does it mean, the mitzvahs?
To do them
stam or to do them because God commanded them? Mitzvah means, I mean, the meaning of a mitzvah isn't I'm just culturally, I'm accepting upon myself to be a cultural Jew. Even if I culturally keep all the mitzvahs, that's not mitzvahs. That's makabel culture. Mitzvahs means a connection. Can you be makabel a mitzvah if you don't have God? No. If you don't believe in a commander, if there's no commander, there's no commandment. Correct? So Kabbalah Samitzvahs is premised on me accepting God. And what does Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim mean? What does that mean?
Even if you don't like doing the mitzvah, you still do it.
And isn't that Kabbalah Samitzvahs?
Some are easier to do. Some you do without.
No. Okay.
Well, which one's first?
Aren't they the same? That's my question.
No, some you do naturally, and some you have to work hard to do.
Okay, that's all in the context of mitzvahs. What does Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim mean without bringing in mitzvahs? What does that mean?
Accepting God.
What does that mean? Okay, good.
Just, like I
do. Zog, say, speak it
it's
out.
Just, I know this is the truth, but like, okay, but I'm not really getting into the details of the mitzvah.
Okay.
Accepting God as King.
Accepting God as King. We're accepting the truth of Hashem Echad. Before even thinking about what that means for me. But if God is not Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then there's no one commanding me, then I cannot even accept mitzvahs. You can't have mitzvahs if you don't have a commander. You can't have a commandment if you don't have a command. Okay, go to Pshat. If you can't have a connection, if there's only me, then there's no connections.
Like
it has to be someone else to connect to.
This is just sitting here, it's not getting into the plug, I've got everything, but once I plug it in, plug into Hashem,
I'm going before the plugging in. Plugging into Hashem is already the mitzvah. I'm connecting to Hashem. If there's nothing to connect to, there's nothing. So any way you want to learn it, I mean, push it, not push it, deeper, not that deep. Shema Yisrael is for sure the most important phrase in Yiddishkeit. It's not even a mitzvah, it's before the mitzvah. We don't even put it together with the mitzvahs. So we asked, the last time we learned Tilchas Kriya Shema, how do you relate to the fact that women are not commanded to say the Shema? Wouldn't everyone be commanded to say the Shema? I get it that women are exempt from mitzvahs that are time bound. Get that. But this is not even a mitzvah. This is like the foundation of the foundations. That there's the emes is Hashem Echad. And we learned, just to repeat in brief, if someone were to ask you, what does it mean Hashem Echad? Just say it. What does it mean Hashem Echad? Just elaborate. Elaborate. And not what?
There's no other God.
No. So that's
we're
that's.
We're not different than God.
What do you mean? We're
part of God.
Okay, that's it. In other words, we're not saying only that there is one God and not two gods. That's not Shema Yisrael. That we don't have to say twice a day. Of course, that's Anechi Hashem Elokecha. Of course, there's only one God and there aren't two gods. Hashem Echad is not precluding a second God. This is very important. Hashem Echad means that there is nothing other than God. That means that really, Be'emes, we are nothing more than an expression of God. There is no existence other than God. We perceive ourselves to exist, so we learn a lot of Hasidus, and you'll chap what that means. But Hashem Echad is a very important statement. Many religions believe in one God, you should know. Many people ask, what did Avraham Avinu bring into the world? That there's monotheism? They'll show you historically that there were cultures before Avraham Avinu that believed in one God. So then I heard from modern Orthodox rabbis, no, Avraham Avinu was the first ethical God. I don't know history enough to say if it's true or not. Avraham Avinu didn't discover that there's only one God and not two gods or not eight gods. And let me ask you, Lamayna, who cares? The emes is there's one God. And if there would be two gods, would it make a difference to you? Not that much. But you know what makes a difference? When you're declaring that there is nothing other than God. That means that be'emes, even we don't really exist. Even this table doesn't really, there's only one existence, God. Well, that's a big statement. I don't even really exist. I don't even know what that means. We have to learn to understand what it means, but that's a big statement. That was the chiddush of Avraham Avinu. Not only, of course, there's only one God, but it's not only that there's one God and not two gods, there is only one existence, and that excludes anything else is not really existing, because everything is constantly so dependent on Hashem that the only real existence is Hashem. First of all, it's good to know the meaning of Hashem Echad. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I came from a frumah home, I just didn't learn Hasidus as a child enough. And I began to learn Hasidus, and it's a different Hashem Echad. It pushes the pshat. And many people, like in anything else, many people can come from a frumah home, and they do things out of habit, and they have no understanding what they're doing, which doesn't matter that much. Shema Yisrael, it matters. Because the mitzvah of Shema is to understand, what are you understanding? It's like when you, it's like almost like davening without understanding what you're davening is like very, very not good. One of the things that we have a big achray is, because I know that this is lacking, I know in the cheder, and maybe in the girls' school, is for us to understand the davening. It means we're frum, we daven. Even though if you don't understand what you're davening, it's good, but it's so much more important and so much more better, pasha, to understand pshat. You can say words your whole life and you don't know what you're saying, and it's foolish. I was in yeshiva and I was walking with my father in the streets in the city, and my father always learned when he walked with me. And we were speaking about some complicated toisvus, and this older yid walked by and he saw me and my father talking. I was a young yeshiva boy, and he was trying to pay attention and he wasn't grasping the content. We were learning something a little bit advanced. So he says, "Yeshiva bucher, lama natseach? What does it mean?" I was 17 years old, I had no idea. That was a very good moment in my life. He humbled me in a good way. Yeah, you're learning complicated. We say Tehillim. How many times did we say Lama Natsayach? A million times. What does Lama Natsayach mean?
What does it mean? I don't know.
No, good, don't be shy. No, it's not true. Lama Natsayach means to the chief musician. Or to the chief conductor. Lama Natsayach means God. In other words, Davar HaMelech, in the context of singing, refer to God as the chief conductor. As the chief musician. Sure, it's beautiful. I'm just saying it can be ironic that we get used to, because Dafke, because we grew up frum, if those of us who grew up frum, is that we do things even though we don't understand it, so we can get used to saying davening and push it not knowing what we're saying, and that's not good. It's a lot better than nothing. But we should know that it's nishgut. We should understand what we're saying. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, doesn't mean listen me, Yid, that Hashem is our God, Hashem is one, meaning there aren't two gods. That's not the meaning of Shema Yisrael. When the Rambam is counting the 613 mitzvahs, there is a mitzvah to believe that God is one. The Rambam tells you the mitzvah, and then he quotes the source. So he begins, that there is a mitzvah to believe that God is one and not two. Shenemar Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Not Shema Yisrael. There's another mitzvah. It's called the mitzvah of the oneness of Hashem. The oneness of Hashem means that everything in creation is mamish one with God. When we live in that world, there's no anxiety in that world. When everything is part of God, we're not even separated from God. We're not even separated from God. It's not that God is close to me. We are an extension of God. You should know, in the emes of Hashem Echad, there's no freedom of choice. That's a question. But Hashem Echad means that there is only one existence. You know what everything is? There's a pasuk in Torah that says that Ein Oid Mulvadai. Ein Oid Mulvadai doesn't mean there isn't another God aside of God. Ein Oid Mulvadai means there is nothing other than God. Now we have to make sense of that. And there's a lot in Chabad Chassidus explains it. But before we explain it, just to know what it means. Hashem Echad means that there is only God. There is no other existence in the world other than God. Whatever we think is an existence is just an expression of God. Hashem is inside everything. Hashem is making everything every instant. And everything is part of God, and everything is part of godliness. We would cease to exist, which means that even when we do exist, it's not us that's existing, it's God's word. However, we'll explain it. Very good. This is something very important. So I'm asking now the question, why is it that women are not mechuyev to say it twice a day?
We are born with that knowledge. We are women. We are that have that inner knowledge that we're born with, the spirituality, and an extra special something.
So why are women so more anxious?
So davening, women are obligated to daven. Look at the irony. Talking to God, which is ultimately to connect to God, that women are obligated. That's how everyone paskins. That's the way the Ashkenazim paskin. We actually, the Alter Rebbe is machmen, and he says that women are obligated to say Shmona Esrei twice a day. Sfardim are paskin that women are obligated to daven Shmona Esrei once a day. Daven. What that woman don't have? You have to daven. Ezariah, no, you have to daven.
But I think the Shmona Esrei is different. It's not the same.
I know it's not the same.
You're standing in front of God and you're saying the Shmona Esrei is kind of like the toolbox. That's the tool to access Hashem.
Who are you talking to when you're saying the Shmona Esrei? Who are you talking to when you're saying the Shema? No. Yeah. That's right. Just again. You're not saying Shema Hashem. Talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself.
Why is it one of the last things that people say before they pass away? Or is it the last thing that people say? They get someone else.
Technically, there are certain things that we say after that. Yeah. I think the last, it's sad halachas, the last thing, there's a whole Megillah that has to be said. And sometimes, I know it could almost be from the outside, and God forbid no one should experience this, it's almost comical, because there's this whole thing that has to be said. Sometimes people are about to pass away, but they are about to pass away for 4 months, so this is being said again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
Who says it?
Because the Chevre Kaddisha, I'm saying this is a...
It's not the person, obviously not the person.
First of all, if a person knows that they're going to pass away, there's this terrible, black joke that a guy says, my grandfather knew exactly what year he was going to pass away. And he knew with the month, and he knew the hour that he was going to pass away. He knew it. And V'kachava, so they asked him, how did you say to know that? He says, because the judge told him, which is the guy that was killed in court.
Right.
He knew, if a person knows that they're about to pass away, right, they're being killed by the government, then if they can only say one thing, they say Shema Yisrael. But there's a lot more than that. And therefore, when we do Bikur Cholam, so there, if a person is talking, you're going to visit someone that they cannot speak on their own, there's different nuschois. I think the last thing that we're supposed to say is Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech Leilam. But that's after many other things. There's Vidui, we do confession, and we make certain,
Tachnun.
A lot of Tachnun. Yeah, but by Chabad, we don't say Hashem Melech and Tachnun. But there's a lot of statements. It's almost when people say it, it's such a long Megillah that you want the person to pass away already. I'm just saying as a joke. No, again, I saw this once. It was a terrible story, but in Cedars, every day I went there, they were saying the whole thing many years ago. A child was very sick, and they passed away. But it was said so many times that you just said it. You don't even... Anyways, so Bekitzin, what are we saying? We're speaking about women and the Shema. Shema Yisrael is a statement that you're making to yourself. Now let me ask you a question. When you have to make to yourself a statement many times over, what does that imply? Or when you have to make a...
Maybe that means you can't keep forgetting it.
That you're not convinced.
Right.
That you're not one with it. The same thing is with other people. When you... When you have to repeat something more than once, you know why you repeated something more than once?
You're going to forget it.
Because you know that the listener might not listen to you once.
But you're saying it to yourself.
Which means?
You need a reminder.
Which means that this statement, listen, that there is one God and not two gods, there's no mitzvah to say this. Even for men. Okay? I know. There's one God, there's no two gods, there's no three, God forbid, there's only one God, and God is one. Fine. That I need not say every day. But to say that there is no existence, there's no existence other than God. Think about that. Pasha, think what you're saying. Do you understand these? There's no existence. That means what? There's no table?
Maybe it's humbling.
It goes against our perception. We don't perceive how the beams are God's words. We perceive the beam as a beam. We believe that God is mashgiach on it and gets God's world, but there's a world. Hashem Echad is a very radical statement. We are saying that the real truth is, we just cannot see that truth. God does not allow us to see that truth, is that there is no existence other than God.
Is it supposed to be a comfort?
First of all, it's a fact. I think it's also comforting. It's really comforting because just like people, let's say this way, they feel comforted when they know that God is with me. I can be afraid, but if I would experience that God is mamish with me, I'll be comforted. It's one step above that. It's not that Hashem is with me. It's that it's all God. It's all God.
Can I mention something?
And all God, you should know, is the biggest challenge to believers because there is to what we perceive as evil. Hashem Echad means that everything is God. Even those things that we perceive to be not good.
Wait, so you think so we say it to comfort ourselves?
I'm not saying to comfort it. She asked if it's comforting. I think it's comforting, yeah. I think we say it. First of all, we're obligated. Men are obligated to say it. It's because obviously we're struggling with this. We have to repeat it again and again and again and again and again. It goes against the chush. It goes against our perception. You're not getting what I'm saying?
I don't see it like that.
You're a woman. So how do you see it? That's obvious. Pshita. Okay? That's my point. That's what I was... No, this goes... Let me get like this. What do you make like this? Huh?
I don't like the
okay,
keep going.
Okay. Let me word it like this. That we find in the Torah a few times. Let's begin with Avram and Sarah. They had a machloikas, how to educate Yitzchak. Who won the argument? Avram Avinu wanted to keep Yishmael in the house. Sarah wanted to kick Yishmael out. And Hashem told Avram Avinu that he has to listen to, and Rashi says, to the Ruach HaKodesh, that she had a greater access to. The next generation, you had Yitzchak and Rivka, the Pshat again. Yitzchak loved Esav, the Pshat. And Rivka loved Yaakov, so who had it right? Rivka. And Hasidus gives many deeper understandings. So why is that so? Why is that so? So the word, the Torah says that women have more bina. What does it mean that women have more bina? There can be exceptions, but generally, huh?
Yeah.
So bina means like this. Chachma is when you have the very big picture, enlightened insight. So there's a question and you have the answer is over there. But to bring the answer down, to make a concept practical, to make it real, that's a chush that a woman has more than a man, as a general. Bini is saying nitna be'isha. When you're saying Shema, are you Shemaing with your Chachma or are you Shemaing with your Bina? No? No? Chachma is seeing.
In other words, Yishmael and Esav being included.
I'm sorry?
But the Yishmael and Esav being included is a Shema Yisrael concept, like that Hashem is everything, including these forces.
You asked me a very good question. So you're nice. But let me go back over here. When you have a general idea, which is everything is part of God, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that lead you to? Like she was asking, does it comfort you? The koyach of concretizing ideas is given to women more than to men.
How is it concretizing ideas?
I didn't even. How do you concretize this idea? You're going to tell me. You're the woman.
To me, it's like
flour,
bread.
Okay, Chazal say these words. Chazal say that men bring home the wheat, but who makes it into bread? That's a mashal that Chazal gave. But well, the concept doesn't matter that today you buy it in the bakery.
And that's Maestro?
No. That's just no. It's there are certain kernels of emes that we know are emes, but what do we do with it? How do we make it real? How do we bring it down? So So women that's their koyach to make it, to bring it down. Men don't have such a big koyach to bring it down. There's more work. It's like a man breaking bread. He'll schwitz more. Most men. Doesn't know what he's doing. Repeating something again and again and again and again is necessary when the tachlis of your statement is too vague. So what? So what Hashem is Echad? And Hashem Echad is beyond the mitzvahs. It's beyond before the mitzvahs. Not since Hashem Echad, I'm going to listen to God. No, that's the next statement. Before that, the affirmation that everything is an extension of God. First of all, is something that we say, we all believe in it. We believe in it. But then there's, what do I do with that knowledge? And then the world appears to contradict it. The struggle with Hashem Echad is something that has to be dealt with by saying it. You have to say it, and you have to say it, and you have to say it. People that don't have this struggle, I'm not saying that women don't struggle. I'm saying that bechlal, there's a lesser of a struggle. You're not mechuyev to say the Shema. Because once you know this idea that there's nothing other than God, it becomes easier, more real to you.
So the irony is it's the mothers that are in bed every night, even kids saying it.
It's good. It's good that they hear it from the mother. Because it's more pure. Because there's no struggle there.
I still don't understand why it's less of a struggle for a woman. I would think it's the other way around. If the woman is taking something like flour, which is not edible, and changing it into something else, then what she's actually doing is she's not accepting the flour.
No. She's knowing how to use the flour. I want you to know that this concept, that there is no existence other than God, should not be used everywhere, every place. Imagine if someone owes you money and they'll tell you, Hashem Echad.
Right.
I don't exist, you don't exist, I don't owe you.
So how do you know?
We know intuitively. That's not what Hashem Echad is coming to tell you. In other words, we need to know when to live in the reality of Hashem Echad. And that's something that we have to intuit. So men are mechuyev to struggle with this. Women have an easier time getting to the tachlis. Like, what's the purpose of Hashem Echad? What do you do with this? So you went right away to comforting. Could be. What does Hashem Echad lead you to?
Revelation.
Yeah. But I'm saying, what's your message? You're telling yourself,
you
you're telling
each other. We should rely on Hashem, that everything comes from Hashem. And whatever happens to us, we should accept that it's all from Hashem.
Okay, so let's speak about acceptance. So there's no doubt that Hashem Echad enables a person to accept reality. Accept reality, because not it should have been different. No, it's God. So it's exactly the way it has to be. So that makes sense. So when someone is about to pass away, and there's no doubt that's a big challenge to accepting reality. It's a new reality. So we declare Hashem Echad. It's like saying Baruch Dayin HaEmes.
No death can come down because it's all right. Hashem.
Very good. Very good.
But you're saying opposite, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
That Bina is what gives us the intuition to understand when to apply the Shema Yisrael and
exactly,
when not to.
Exactly.
So when to accept reality and when to not accept
Very good.
Reality.
So she gave two great examples. If something bad, happened to me, that is my time to know Hashem Echad.
And it's bad what she said, that it gives you confidence.
What do you know?
But it's the same as somebody telling you, oh, I owe you the money, I'm not giving it to you. Isn't it?
The person is responsible to what he does.
But it's just, I feel like it's a small example. Let's say somebody, you know, drops a gem into the ocean.
And that's when a yid is going to shy.
If you dropped it, that's a bad example.
And you have an angry spouse, you should write, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Alekeinu, Hashem,
you're about to get killed. All right. It's a bad example, but...
it's a good example.
No, it's a bad example because you can't
that's
turn
my,
it back.
That's my point.
No,
no,
like,
that's
how do you know when to very, and when to let go?
There you go. So you just answered it yourself, Vaitin. Naturally. That if there's nothing you can do, Sharai Hashem Echad. If there's something you can do, don't say Hashem Echad, because go fix it. 100%. You have to, intuitively, you know when to apply it, when you don't. All these abstract ideas are not difficult to comprehend. If they are, so then, okay, so work for a day, not your whole life, twice a day. Hashem Echad means that this concept that Hashem, there's nothing other than God, is something that we all have to struggle when to apply it, when to not apply it. And therefore men are mechuyev to say it twice a day, and women are not mechuyev. Now, having said that, it's important for women to say it. You're not obligated to say it, but it's the emes. It's like a super emes.
I noticed, Rabbi, that when I meet people, Jewish, not Jewish, and that stuff, they don't believe in this concept of Shema Yisrael. They don't have that understanding, even on some level. They seem to feel like they have control over what happens in the world. And when you feel like that it's all on your shoulders, it's very stressful.
Correct.
It's even deadly to you.
Correct. Correct.
You
made a very good clarification. Believe it. Many people believe in God. They don't believe God runs the world. It's two different statements. It was not only that we believe in God and God is one. Okay, it's all Zion. But that and not only does God run the world, but deeper and deeper and deeper, that it's all an extension of God. All an extension of God. You know what that also can be used for? Even for my own mistakes in the past.
If you say
HaKol HaTovah means that you have to learn how to forgive yourself, because even though we also believe in freedom of choice, but if I made a mistake yesterday, I cannot change what I can do something new to offset it. But the act that I did yesterday, the words that I said yesterday, I'm sorry, it was said, can't take it back. Many people cannot forgive themselves. 100%, but you can't take it back. No, there's a certain emes that if I said something not correct or not pleasant to hear yesterday, I offended someone yesterday, I know I can apologize, but those words were said yesterday. Even if you took them back, it doesn't change the reality, even when you could take it back, that yesterday you spread it out.
It's just the new soil of what you have to work with.
And b'hashgacha pratis, I am exactly where I need to be. No, the Shema Yisrael is such a radical statement. People don't appreciate it enough because they have the wrong taich. They think we're saying there's one God and not two gods, and most people find that irrelevant. That's why they accept it. Good, yeah, it's good. It's one God, not two gods. First of all, you bet. To say that there's two gods is avodah zarah. I know that. But for the people that I know, it doesn't change. It doesn't affect. Not something that changes your life. If
why
there would have,
why would it matter if people think there's multiple gods?
There you go. Because it's not true. But it doesn't very good. It's not something that it's not something that's life changing to me.
Like if somebody has multiple gods for different concepts and it works for them. The god of evil,
I can explain to you why it's not good, but it's 100%. That is a lot less consequential, bottom line, not very vaguely theologically, than the concept of Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is a big statement.
Right.
Hashem Echad means that there is no existence other than God. Think about these words. Again, when whoever hears it for the first time, that's what it means. Okay, when you're going to say the Shema, you're not going to understand it better. But some people need to repeat it, because we go away from that emes. When we leave learning Torah, we go into the world, we don't look at the world that way. Every time I'm angry at you, I'm denying Hashem Echad. That's why the Alter Rebbe quotes that it says that whoever is angry is tantamount to idol worship. If I'm angry at a person, that's avodah zarah. Because I'm denying, if I'm angry at God, it's not avodah zarah. It's foolish. It's like a child being angry at a parent. We're speaking about a healthy, good parent. It's almost comical. Because everyone knows the parent is doing good. The child doesn't understand, and the child doesn't yet have the humility to chop that I don't even understand.
You can still be angry at God.
Angry at God, yeah.
I can say that angry at God doesn't contradict Hashem Echad. It's foolish.
But just the fact that you're angry at God means that you believe in God.
That's right. Not only that you believe in God, but you believe that something that happened to you by any other medium is really God's fault. That's emunah.
Right.
Because it is. Ultimately, it's all God. Angry at God is a confirmation of Hashem Echad, but we shouldn't be angry at God because for many other reasons.
You have to believe that anything that happened to you meant to be. Even though you don't like it, you don't see it.
Right.
It's like when if you go, let's say, you walk in the street and you hear a baby screaming, and you think, what's going on? Terrible, somebody's maybe abusing it. But then you go inside and you see it by the dentist. So you understand, it's by the dentist, it's fine. But if you wouldn't see, you wouldn't know. So the same thing our emuna has to be, is that whatever happens to us, even though we think,
but that's something else. So, you know, first of all, you're saying it's emes. But you're saying why we shouldn't be angry at God. I'm speaking about if I'm angry at anything else other than God, that's contradicting Hashem Echad.
That's contradicting. You're angry at God.
It's good. In fact, I'm angry at God. At least I'm accepting it from God. I shouldn't have been angry because you're right. But at least I'm going to the right address. Being angry at anything, that's a good application of Hashem Echad. If I'm angry at anything other than God, I got to tell myself, Hashem Elikeinu, Hashem Echad.
Can I ask a question? Yaakov, when he said Shema Yisrael and he called everyone together, everyone of the tribes together, right? So I always saw it to mean, when you say Shema Yisrael, you're telling all of Israel, our Hashem is Hashem Echad. So everybody's consciousness should come as one to serve Hashem as one. That's kind of the kavanah I have a lot of times when I say Shema, is that all of Am Yisrael should understand together that Hashem is one.
What unites all Am Yisrael?
A collective consciousness is the way I think of it.
Why is there a collective consciousness?
Because
of one God.
Yes.
Oh, that's about, no, it's since there's only one God, like how you asked the question, and if there would be two gods? Hasidus speaks about it. If there would be two gods, then there would never be the real ability in creation for everything to get together. Because if something is coming from one source and something else is coming from another source, having two gods would disallow a real achdus amongst creation. You know, since everything really comes from one, like how do you know if something is closer to God or not? A very simple way. If you look at a group of people, how do you know whether they're close to God or not? The more united they are, the closer they are to God. Push it. Always that way. Because since God is one, the closer people are to God, the more oneness there is. Or look at a person in themselves. If I'm very fragmented, we are all fragmented. The question is to what level? It means if my life is very double, I'm a big tzaddik in shul and I'm a big not tzaddik out of shul. Right? Typical from a Jew. You have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. You're very good when you're with your Yetzer Tov, and you're very good with your Yetzer Hara. That's an indication that we're far from God, because there's only one God. If I would have been closer to God, I would somehow bring these two parts in me together.
But then you mentioned outside people. So this is my whole thing of like the Kavanah bringing everyone together. There are some people who cause machlokas. This is what they do. They cause.
Sure. So that's an indication that
Hashem doing that to them, taking over their mind.
Wait, let's go. You too many things together. Let's break them apart. If there is a person, me, if I am a kanduah to machloikas, so first of all, there's the way I have to look at me, is whether I intended or not. If through me came a machloikas, that's an indication that I'm far from God. That I have to take that to heart. Vaharaya, through me, division happened. Or if a person is somehow bringing people together, that should be taken, not to be arrogant, that I'm on the right track. The proof is the fact that through my efforts, through your efforts, through that you bring people together. Bechlal, the Rebbe was always into gathering people. And gathering people is very challenging. The Rebbe wanted people to learn together. The Alter Rebbe wanted people to learn together and understand the chiddush of that. I'll tell you why you might argue otherwise. Because the truth is, take any group of people. Everyone has a different amount of scholarship. Everyone thinks differently. If the goal would be just to succeed in learning, then you would make these programs that would figure out whom are you the most compatible with, who would be a good learning partner for you. Don't waste time learning in a group. Get one or two people that are on your madrega, and you'll accumulate more knowledge, more external knowledge. Once you emphasize, no, gather people, and don't have a minion of people. You learn it amongst 100 people. We all know that the larger the group, academically, the much harder it is to excel.
Because if you
want people to get involved, then you're on one level, you're on one level, it's b'chal hard to teach. Like, what you told me I knew already, or you went beyond my head. It's hard, but still, no, the Torah says, gather more people together. We see a mila in it. Why? Because the deep of everything is not just external knowledge. It's to get closer to God. The more people are able to get together for the same purpose, especially if it's Kedusha, you're already closer to God. That is the Kavana. So if you can gather 10 people or 20 people or 50 people, gather 50 people. And when we went to the Beis HaMikdash, we gathered how many people? Hundreds of thousands of people. You think it was easy? It would be much easier to have a shtibel. Everyone should have their own mini Beis HaMikdash, and everyone has a little mizbeach. We're all serving God. Why do we all have to get together? because we want to see God. One of the ways we see God is by seeing many becoming one. The more the many that become one, the greater the gilui of Alikos. So coming back to you. So if I'm the cause of machlekes, that means I'm far away from God. And I have to figure out for me what that means and what can I do. If I'm bringing achdus, that's a good sign. And then if I'm the victim of, in other words, if I'm witnessing how through a certain individual, machlekes is coming about, that is an indication for me that that person in this area doesn't represent God. Sometimes you're confused. Like, is that a godly person? I'm not saying that you're either or you're not. No, it's complex. But if you want to have a role model, and you're like, look how much unity the Rebbe brought into the world. Now, of course, if anyone is going to oppose the Rebbe, so wasn't that, there's no living here without any machlekes. But bachlal, what the Rebbe was a uniter. No, it's being a uniter, being a disruptor. Who's closer to God? For sure the uniter.
Real close to God, I think no. It's who Hashem is choosing to be which role.
In other words, Hashem is so great that even if I choose to do evil,
it's Hashem doing it.
Yeah, if Reuven chooses to murder, Reuven is not close to God. But if Shimon has to get killed, then God is Bahashgacha Prat is going to bring Reuven near Shimon, so when he exercises his freedom of choice of being a murderer,
right.
But it doesn't mean Shimon is close to God. It doesn't mean Reuven is close to God. What's the act of killing, the act of machlekes is always
so
bad.
So who are we upset with? Which one?
I don't think it's about being upset. I'm not upset. It's about, for me, the context would be, it's always good to look up to people. And I think the older we get, the more we'll realize that never look at the package. How do you know who to look up to? Because the person looks more observant? Maybe he is, maybe he's not. You know, they had Rabbi Pinto. Rabbi Pinto used to come, maybe still comes, he looks at your mezuzah, this psychic, Jewish psychic. And he tells you stuff about you. Not that this is important at all in Yiddishkeit. If you idolize psychics, the goyim have greater psychics. Remember, Rabbi Pinto came to Brazil, and there was a yid that was almost going to become a Baal Tshuva, very intelligent elderly person. He's still living. He's 90. I'm going back 20 years. He was 70. He was not a child. He was about to become kosher. What turned him off? The fact that so many observant Jews made a big thing about a psychic. And he says, this is Judaism? No, I'm not saying, no, we can't say we're not allowed to do it. It's a cultural thing. Some people have a sixth sense. He says, this is Yiddishkeit? He told me, you know what I looked up to? I looked up to a home that they keep kosher. It's hard. In Brazil, for sure, it's hard.
Hey, he was looking for something. It's not because of it.
Huh? Yeah. No, He wasn't. He realized that observant Yidden, they give value too much to the supernatural, to spirituality, and not to mitzvahs. Notice he was attracted to mitzvahs, that there's a God, and it's a whole different mindset. It
depends on what sect of Judaism, because there are
correct
Jews that don't even pay attention to the spiritual aspect of
Judaism. He's talking about observant Jews. He looked up to observant Jews that we are the role model. Anyways.
But I'm saying there's many observant Jews that are more into the action of the mitzvah.
I know. Say that. Just get parenthetical. Take that. Erase that. Say that.
All right.
I'm saying for us, I'm saying that Rabbi Pinto came once to LA, and he saw who knows how many hundreds of Jews.
Celebrities.
Oh, not
Rabbi
Pinto. No, real good. He knows.
But he
psychic.
Also has done it for celebrities.
I don't know. I know that. No.
Okay.
I don't know. There was one Jew that walked into his office. Here, a Lubavitcher guy, and he stood up and he says, you are the first observant Jew that walked into my office since I came to LA. Which means, yeah, that not, we're not that observant. And I'm saying this as humbling. Because obviously, I'm not saying that we don't keep kosher. Yiddishkeit is more about kosher. So I'm going back to what you're saying. I think if someone is a conduit for machlokes, that's a good sign that person is not close to Hashem Echad. And therefore we should apply it. Applying Yiddishkeit is a koyach that women have. Which is why a woman is called Akeres Habayis. Which is why women in their home are normally right. Because we're not debating theology. We're debating about how to make Yiddishkeit real. That's something that you have that chush, and you have to make use of it. That's why you're not mitzuvah to say it twice a day. Talking to God is something else. talking to God or something else. And talking to God, men and women are equally mechoyv to talk to God all the time. And like we said, once Chazal, they formalized it for both of us. But talking to God and saying Shema are like two opposite things, to the point that it's not even, we put it in davening, it doesn't have to be part of davening. Davening means Shemoneh Esrei. Saying the Shema is affirming our fundamental emunah that everything is God. Shema is not even about the mitzvahs. Shema is not about the mitzvahs. We're supposed to make a pause between the Shema and V'yahavta. Shema is about the world, the reality.
Speaking of that, I have a question. I learned that you're not supposed to connect the words like Shema Yisrael, you know, it's supposed to be Shema Yisrael, Hashem, not for people in thought. People say one word touches the next and kind of word. I learned that you're not supposed to.
Okay, that's a technical thing, that's correct. Just like when we write in the Sefer Torah, two letters touch each other. Sefer Torah is not kosher. Every letter is meant to stand alone, even though many letters are supposed to be in proximity of. It's like people. We're supposed to be in proximity of. But we have to maintain it. We have to stand alone in a healthy way. Every letter has to stand alone. Every word has to stand alone. When we say the Shema, we're more medagdic. We're more careful. Correct. You're doing it right. Yes. But that goes to any. When we speak, we're supposed to speak clearly. You speak in front of a king, you speak clearly. We're just very meticulous when it comes to the Shema. It says in the Gemara that whoever pronounces every word of the Shema clearly, the fires of Gehenim are cooled off of that person. I don't know if it's nice. Nice is not to go to Gehenim. So some people take that to an extreme. We're not into... All that, yes. Huh? I would argue that Golos is Gehenim. We are already in Gehenim. How many times can you go to Gehenim?
I've had this thought for a long time.
How do you leave?
Huh?
How can you leave? You can understand it.
I'm sorry?
How do you leave?
English. How do we leave?
That's our cowgirl.
By bringing Gan Eden in Gehenim. We leave Gehenim by saving myself from Gehenim. I think there's no way. Is by transforming my Gehenim into Gan Eden, which is not easy. But that's the mindset. That's the famous joke that Rav Nachman promised whoever goes to a skeva, he'll pull him out of Gehenna. So that's the whole thing, that a chassid, two, a Lubavitcher chassid and a Breslover were in Gehenna. So Rav Nachman came there and he chopped out the Breslover chassid, he took him out. And the Rebbe came to his chassid and he gave him a dollar and he says, that's for the chabaros that you're building in Gehenna. Good luck, man. That's your place. And that's not a joke, that's exactly the mindset. In other words, the goal is not to get myself into a better place. The goal is to bring the better place into here. To take out La Cienega Boulevard and to build something holy on it. On a busy, not clean street. That's the Kavana. Not to go into the mountains where it's already Ruch Niyazdik and Daven over there. No, Daven, always that way. People ask you, Davening in a shul? People go away to the mountains and they say, oh, there you can Daven. I know. Sure, when you are in nature.
It also is if the mountains, you're closer to Hashem, so it's easier.
Correct, that's the answer. The answer is you're right that it's easier. Yeah. But the Kavana isn't easier. Now, if you personally need it, then take it.
Right.
But the Kavana is to be able to get close to God even here. In a Yiddish box, in the middle of a dirty, noisy street. They're Davin. It's much harder. But that's the Kavana. The Kavana is to bring God into Gehenim. And all of that comes from Hashem Echad. Again, how can I do that? How can I bring God into such a lowly place? Only if I believe that the Emes, God is everything. God is, that the Baal Shem Tov used to repeat that. Because when you discover God is already here, you don't have to bring God here. God is here. God, where are you? Once you chap, God is already here. Some comfort. It gives you a lot of koyach. When a person feels that they're with God, it's dangerous the amount of power that they have. Correct. And, okay, so just to say what you're saying, and being that there are times that we cannot live with Hashem Echad, we cannot. Because if I'm going to live with Hashem Echad at the wrong time, it's going to abnegate all responsibility. So there has to be, that's called Bina, to know how to separate. When to live with Hashem Echad, and when to say, right now, it's my responsibility. Hashem Echad negates freedom of choice. And there's also an emes that God gave me Bechira, so I need to know when to do what. So either you have that chush, either you have it, or you have to talk to yourself every day, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, and struggle with it. And sometimes we make mistakes in that. Sometimes we all make mistakes in this.
So, but even though we have our work to do, it doesn't contradict one another.
I guess, and there's different levels. I'm not going to debate with you. What you're saying is emes, but you're not negating what I'm saying either.
No, no.
In other words, there are times that there are many people that use Hashem Echad in the wrong way.
Right.
And she pointed out one good thing, is that they become less responsible.
Right.
And it's very difficult to measure it. It means even in work, you know, the words that non-Hasidim uses, you got to make a shtadlus. That's what we're saying, b'chirim. Okay, and I made my shtadlus. Now, Hashem Echad. Or make an ishtadlus again, and then shrei Hashem Echad. We all struggle with that. It's not an easy thing. Men struggle with it a lot more. They can get it wrong, and we have to say, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad. But it doesn't mean that women have the same belief. Yeah. And I'm sure there's also a struggle. You have to figure out how to apply. How much effort do I have to make until I have the right to pick up my hands and say, you know what? It's God's world. And everything. Some people say they have to make the minimum of effort.
It's very confusing.
Very confusing.
It's a balance.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying is that if we would see that everything is God, we would have even a bigger struggle. It looks to me like, no, the table is a table.
Yeah.
There's a separation. And that throws responsibility on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm beginning with the premise, at least for a man, a healthy man, that I have the responsibility, and I have to remind myself every now and then, keep on working. But before you begin your day, at the end of the day, Hashem Echad. But during the day, there's no Shema during the day, Gei Arbit. Okay, that's one way to look at it. And that's why the mitzvah is then. So you begin, before you begin working, you say, it's all God. When you finished working, when you go to sleep. Finished working means when you're going to sleep. Not when you finish working in America 5 p.m. When you're going to sleep, Hashem Echad. And when you are awake, in between, it could be, I could be not bad. It could be, it's a good way to work, like generally.
I mean, it's just that everything that we're dealing with the way Hashem runs the world, we can only have our finite perception of what that really means.
Correct.
So.
Correct. Correct. But it's a gewaltige thing.
It's infinite, so we only have a finite,
I think one can say that this should be our continuous struggle. This should be our continuous struggle. If a Yid is living the emes with the emes of God, God is true, and Hashem Echad is true, then I think one of the things that will be going on in our minds the whole time, it will be, God, what do you mean by this? I don't understand your language. Mamash, this struggle.
Complacency, not knowing what Hashem's trying to teach you through certain hardships. Are you supposed to stick with the hardships? Are you supposed to not? It's confusing.
Let me conclude with one word, Hashem Echad. This comes from a Hasidic Rebbe. I forgot which Rebbe. He asked, why did God wait until Avram Avinu to say Lech Lecha? Why didn't God say Lech Lecha to someone before? The question is Pasha. The answer is Gavaldik. So he says that God was saying Lech Lecha from the beginning. The first person that heard him was Avram Avinu.
Right. So confusing.
That's such a good word.
So confusing.
I know that.
It makes it even more confusing.
No, it's good.
Like,
I love it.
You know, it's Hashem saying Lech Lecha. Like, it's like, you know, the sea's there and it doesn't split until you're till here and you don't know if you should drown yourself.
You're already drowning. Who
you're
says
already
you're already drowning?
Until you're really drowning, you don't even know.
In other words, Avram Avinu figured out exactly who, what, when, and where. People before them, they believed. They were tzaddikim. Chanoich believed. It's not that people didn't believe. They're like, we also believe. We don't know how to apply it. Hashem Echad has to be applied. And we have to have the chachma and the bina. It's the bina. How to apply it.
We need a class on that.
I don't think there's a formula. I think it's very intuitive. And every scenario is different, no? My Hashem Echad of today cannot be the same Hashem Echad of yesterday. The concept I get, the application is very difficult. And I think we should struggle with that. And that's the way I understand that men have to say it. I think men are struggling with Hashem Echad.
Like, meaning they're not even thinking about this conversation?
Meaning that they maybe they take too much responsibility. They give, they attribute too much to themselves.
Well, that is the
their beginning, their achrayus is to provide. So they have to take responsibility. If a man is gonna come in with Hashem Echad, don't partner with a guy that's Hashem Echad. I'm telling you, there was a joke, one of my father's jokes, that a guy loaned money. And it's a certain Sunday, he says, I need all the money back. No, I need the money back. And a few days later, the guy chapter 11. Good, Baruch Hashem. So the borrower told the lender, how did you know I was going to chapter 11? He says, you never spoke about Mashiach. Up his last Shabbos, you were speaking about Mashiach. Mashiach is coming. Mashiach, I understood. Yeah. You have big tzaddis. Give me my money back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, I would say that if a man is shrying Hashem Echad, not twice a day, 18 times a day, the wrong way, he's a bum. And Hashem Echad, it's the best excuse. The best excuse, Hashem Echad. It's the religious excuse that all people give, that religious people can give. You're meant to be. And imagine the chutzpah, I wrong you. And then I tell you, well, do you believe in Hashgacha Pratis? Ever heard that line? From the person that wronged you. Like, wow. Good. So Hashem should help us. We should figure out when to shrei Hashem Echad the right way.